How do you, as an entrepreneur, create space for change? Jan Vermeijden shares in his new book, The Compassionate Leader, practical insights. Hi Jan, welcome to our studio. You wrote a new book, The Compassionate Leader. It's out now. Why this book?
Well, the most important reason, there are many, the most important one is that a study of McKinsey showed that 70% of the change projects don't reach their goal.
Whoa, that's huge.
That's a huge number. And despite many initiatives like new ways of working together, processes, software, tools, still 70%. So I thought, okay, what is happening here? And I dove into the topics that are most of the times overlooked. And I brought them together in the book.
But maybe first, before we dive into it, we need to set a scene. If you're talking about changes and change projects, what kind of things do we need to have in mind then?
Well, it's all kind of changes, but let's say if they talk about change projects, usually it's a digitalization of a company or more, let's say the change from shops to e-commerce, most of the time the larger events. But let's say that the reason I found why they are not succeeding apply to any change, even the small changes in a team, let's say moving from one office to another.
Okay, even that.
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned 70% of those projects fails. Why?
Yeah, the three reasons I discovered. The first one is the vibe, that we don't take the vibe of an individual or a team into account.
What's that about?
There are four vibes. Negative, neutral, positive, and inspiring.
That's how somebody looks at the change then?
So that's my model. To keep it simple, there are many scientific models behind it, but I wanted to keep it simple so people can do something with it. And what we see is that we need people in a positive or an inspiring vibe to be able to say, okay, we want to go, we want to take the next step, we want to go into the future, we want to work together on this project forwards. When people are in a negative or a neutral vibe, they don't feel safe enough, psychologically safe, and not supported enough. And as a reaction to that, they're going to do all actions to protect themselves. So, and that you see, it's common human behavior that they rather stay in a bad situation now than to change to a positive one, because they say, okay, this is what I know, and this is to protect myself. And if we can change our view on that, if we don't consider them as people that are bad or negative people, but if we just look at it as protective behavior, we also can deal with them in another way.
And can you change how people look at a change?
Yes. First, it's how you describe it, and maybe the more rational things.
The package, how you bring it.
Yes, that's one thing. It's an important part. But for me, it's like, okay, that's other people's jobs. But for me, it's more, okay, how can you raise the vibe? How can you make sure that people feel more safe and supported? And there are also kind of more rational actions to do that, just to tell them what the project is going to be about. Many people feel also not secure because they don't know if they're going to have a job or not. So the more information they get, the better. But also, it's about, and then there's a second topic, it's about solving tensions. People, they don't like tensions, so they avoid it. And in a change project, it brings new tensions. And they would say, oh, I don't want this. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they're attacked by the potential new tensions. So I also created a model to solve that.
We have the vibes, we have tensions as a reason to fail.
Yes.
But there's even a third one.
Yes, the third one is the bonding cycle. That's what George Kohlreiser created. It's four steps that we always go through the whole time. Small changes, big changes. And for example, when someone has a new job, he needs to change a lot of things, like new colleagues, new building, new car, maybe new computer, new way of working. And the first step in that model of George Coleridge, the bonding cycle, is attach. So this person attaches to the build, to the colleagues, to customer suppliers. Then the second step is bonding. So that's where the engagement, the commitment comes in. And how I look at it is that we put positive emotions in the relationship with the colleagues, with the building, with the computer. And that's where we like people to be, because when they're engaged, they go the extra mile, and it's great to work together. But then, since the world is changing the whole time, something changes. For example, a team member leaves the team. Maybe it's for a promotion, maybe he's fired. Doesn't really matter, so something changes. So the third step is separate. We separate from the old situation. So the team, the old team is not there anymore, so we have to transition to the new team. And that's what we do in the Western world. Okay, we stop there, separate, and then we go back to attach, and then we want people to go to the bonding. But you see more and more that that's not happening. People, and then you hear CEOs of large multinationals, or employees are not engaged anymore. But the reason why it's not why that's not happening is they forget the fourth phase, and the fourth phase is grieving. And what we do in the grieving phase is we kind of take out the emotions that we put in the second step, in the bonding step. We take out, so it's available again for the new situation. But since that taking out most of the times is related to negative emotions like sadness, anger, frustration, we don't allow people to do that. We don't allow ourselves to do that because it's not professional. But when we can, we get stuck there, and we are not, we don't have the energy or the emotions ready, or we don't have access anymore to go to the next step.
But how could you translate that into a business environment? Should we have a grief moment? I just can't imagine how that should go.
Yes, exactly. And it's kind of, with a funeral.
Yeah.
The people, when there is a funeral, when somebody passes over, there is a funeral, and what most of the times is happening is that their memories are shared, both the positive and the negative ones, and people can share their own experiences, and that's the start of kind of, you know, in a personal situation, of the healing process, and that's what we need more in the professional world as well. And it doesn't have to be as heavy as in a funeral, a real funeral. But we need the time, space, and attention for this to happen. Yeah. And the good thing is it doesn't cost any money. But what we usually not do is give their time and attention to and space. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that for the hospitality industry, I think that's one of the things to come. Special kind of events, or for the internal event planners, advise the project managers that is an important step in a project at the end, or when the project is stopped, that is also needs to happen. Normally we only have kickoff events or celebrations, but we also need more and more these kind of events.
Okay, new kind of event.
Corporate funerals.
Yeah. Okay, great. We now have the three reasons why it's not working. Is there also a solution in your book?
Yeah, there's a solution, and there are two ingredients. The first ingredient is what I call the DO-IT process. It's a process to transform the tensions, and as a consequence, the vibe goes up. The four steps are: the D stands for detect and face the tension. So the elephant in the room, we say, okay, it's here.
Yep.
Let's face it. I'm not pushing it away anymore. It only takes 1 second, this step, but we need to take it. The second step is understand and solve the tension. So what kind of tension is it? Is it a practical tension, a personal tension, or interpersonal tension? And then apply the right techniques. And they're also in the book. And then sometimes that's enough. But sometimes we need to go to the third step. And the E stands for embrace and transform the root of the tension. So sometimes there's a root or a cause.
Digging a bit deeper.
Yeah, deeper. And then the tensions are just the symptoms. So sometimes we need to go deeper. And also sometimes we need to take the fourth step, and the T stands for take action. Sometimes we need to, when we have experienced interpersonal tension, mm-hmm. and that's kind of relaxed a little bit, we want to talk again to each other, but in a different way, that we don't create any extra tensions or the old ones again. So that's also one of the things that I call compassionate communication, is one of the techniques in the book.
Okay, great. There's also a second way of solving it.
Yeah, so the second ingredient is compassionate leadership. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's the way I describe how to facilitate going through that duet process, how to facilitate as a leader or a coach or anyone else.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, is that only the responsibility of the hierarchical leader, or is it everybody's responsibility?
But everybody could take action, mm-hmm. and start this process. But what you see in most environments is that people look at the leader, mm-hmm. The leader is kind of dominant person, and especially when we work in hierarchical mm-hmm. Organizations, something happens with people. They become more a dictator, or they feel more like, oh, I need to take a lot of responsibility here. That's mm-hmm. what I did with my mm-hmm. with my team, and I was too responsible. So I was not helping or supporting them, but I was kind of rescuing them, and it also didn't feel nice to them. So I was kind of treating them like a child in a good way, from a good intention. While people who are more dominant, it's also kind of a parent-child relationship, with more, it doesn't feel that nice, maybe. But the effect is the same. So for me, compassionate leadership is another way to do that, and to really see each other as equal human beings, mm-hmm. not parent-child, with different roles and functions and expertise. So that's something else. And we're not, they're not the same as a person, but equal human beings at the same level. And if you can do that, we can help to solve the tensions instead of creating more.
Okay, Jan. You made me curious, and I think a lot of our viewers too, to read your book. We will put a link below the video. Thank you very much for coming over.
You're welcome.
Hey, at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.